Welcome to the Water Cooler Podcast, the After Hours Edition. This week, we will sit down with a good friend of ours, Nick DeMuth. Nick works in the world of athletics, specializing in strength and vision training. Some teams Nick has had the opportunity to work with are the Minnesota Wild and the San Francisco 49ers. We had such a great conversation with Nick, we're going to break our conversation into three different episodes. Over the course of all three episodes, we will discuss strength and vision training. Nick walks us through his experience of having emergency brain surgery a few years back. And to wrap it all up, Nick gives us a great overview of the crazy world of NFTs. All right, this week for the Water Cooler After Hours, we have Nick DeMuth. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Got it.
I'm like, you told me.
First try, too.
I'm like, you told me, but I feel like I'm still going to mess it up somehow.
You never know. You know, you just never know how people are going to say your last name.
Yeah.
We understand that.
We understand that. I actually loved in hockey.
Yeah, the warm-ups.
Yeah, I loved when they mess it up because I'm like, I want to see how creative these people get.
Yeah.
And I love the people.
More of the passion. Like, can they say it, mess it up, and still mean it? Like, they didn't.
With confidence.
Yeah. Like, they just assume that's how you say it.
As a teacher, I do that all the time.
Oh, I was going to ask.
All the time. I remember very specifically, I had a student named Latrell, but I thought it said Latrelli. I don't know why, but very, very confidently, I said in front of class, first day of school, Latrelli, and everyone started laughing, and I was like, I don't understand. That's what it says right here, and the kid goes, no, it's Latrell. I'm like, nope, that's not what it says. Confidence is key.
Oh, I got to say this one. So we were studying abroad in Italy, right? And our teacher was just, he was another level of just like, you knew like 17 languages, and like none of them are common to this era, right?
Oh, wow.
And he rolls in like... fresh off the casino and it's like early in the morning and he's going through roll call, right? And one of my buddies' name, his last name's O'Brien. He goes, O'Brien, that's Italian, right? And my buddy's like, no. Like, obviously he knows it's Irish. Right.
Yeah. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my gosh.
I can't remember what I was watching, but Zach Galifianakis, him and his sister started calling their little brother a different name. And he's never said anything about it. And they've just continued with it.
Just lives on.
Yeah. And I'm like, that is crazy because this is your sibling. Like, I feel like if my brother started calling me a different name, like, I would instantly tell him, like, no, you're wrong. But, like, maybe I'd be, like, for a little bit, but, like, what the hell are you doing here?
So, like, when he introduces himself now, does he use the different name?
I think it's just like...
Just those two.
Because it's like a common name where if you change one letter, it's a different name.
Okay.
And I can't remember what the name... I think it was on David Letterman's show on Netflix.
Maybe, yeah.
That he like interviewed him and he said this story. But it was funny because it was like, if you said it fast enough, you would have no idea right. That there was anything.
Yeah.
And just the way that he's like, yeah, I text it to him. I say it to his... Like, we say it all the time. I'm like, that's hilarious.
I've had someone ask me if I ever... go by Germany.
As a name?
Jerome.
Nope. Germany?
Germany. If it was a G, I'd get it, right? Like, obviously, but...
And I was like...
J to G?
Not to be mean, but no.
But no.
Like that, like, I guess there's a slight sound.
I mean, maybe, you know, like...
Yeah, but I'm like...
No.
Why did you think of that? But yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, so... going back to, I guess, the intro.
Yes, the name. Back yes. To my name.
Yeah. I met Nick.
You're figuring this out. Probably 5 years ago. Let's say five. Because it had to be... Well, you started in 2017, yeah?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I was watching the news, and it was on a story about Devin Dubnyk doing eye training, and I thought it was super interesting. So I looked it up, reached out to True Focus Vision, and... I got a phone call from a man named Josh, who is the owner. Hmm. And his first question was, are you related to Tim Kirkenau?
Yeah, there we go. We're back on the names.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm like, full circle. I'm like, I don't know him, but there's a really good chance.
High probability. Here we go.
And he's like, because you're somehow connected to him, I'll like drop like the first fee in half. Honestly, I don't even know if I'm actually.
Yeah, there we go.
Guy,
I don't really know the guy, but all right.
And I went into it going like, I'm learning about the eye stuff, but like I was showed an NHL goalie
And I'm like, I'm not that, so why would I be doing this? But as I find out, when I was younger, doctors recommended to my parents to try eye therapy, but it wasn't as big. So they're like, we'll just get them bifocals. And they did that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think that that was the alternative.
Right, right.
To eye training.
Yeah.
Well, and like, I think...
I mean, like, at that point, right, that would have made the most sense.
Yeah.
Because even eye training now is still... I would say it's still out there a little bit. It's not like a commonality.
Yeah. But, yeah, but through this process, I met you.
Right.
Because you worked with Josh. I'm guessing you still work with Josh. And you went to the same stuff as well, right?
Well, so I had known Josh, and that's where Josh is like a whole nother sector into the podcast too, because it's crazy. We have two different, very different interpretations of it's still the same thing. It's just we come from different lenses where, you know, like to me, so I actually was a strength coach and then I had met Josh via the process, and like, it's kind of just who I am. It's half of how this conversation will even just unfold. I'm super into abstract concepts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just stuff that's not in conventional space. Cause it's, and I've really learned this is like, especially in the strength and conditioning world, if you stick with the status quo, like you're soon to be outplayed.
Right.
Which is like, it's always good. You should always be searching for new concepts and like looking at what's out there and what's, and I like seeing stuff that's been out there for a long time. It just hasn't gotten the science like based data that it needs, or even the publicity that it needs. And so there was Josh, who, you know, I was a goalie as well.
Yeah.
Seemed right. Seemed logical. I was like, okay, like the fact that you would want to train your eyes to operate in such a way makes a lot of sense. So, and this was, I was still young. Like I hadn't really even learned much. I was pretty much post-college, just intrigued by it.
Yeah.
And, but then like that in itself was so eye-opening, not to be, but it really, but it's crazy the neurological effect eyes have on, I mean, like, let me ask, how, when you think about how we perceive reality, what's our main point that we come from? Typically it's visual,
right? Yeah.
You know, more than almost anything else, smell, taste, touch, like
that's our main sense. Oh my, we always,
it's like
think
70%, right? And so even this just, and I had never even been presented this data. So it was really just like, it was to me, it's just looking at all, it seemed really, it seemed cool. It made a lot of sense as far as like tracking ability, your eyes ability to track things. But then, so I would say like the sports enhancement side of things seemed like at that point, it's like, yeah, any pro athlete would go out of their way to, at that point in the stage of their game, would want to start looking for, it's kind of like the Tom Brady effect. And that, that does tie a lot into the story as well, was, you know, if you look at what does Tom Brady do, well, he's always having to adapt and change, you know, as he continues to age, or just enhance where he's presently at. He's looking for those, like almost what you would say, we had been talking in an earlier conversation about subtle changes that make a long-term impact. So especially when you're at that point in the game and you've been presented so much, you start looking for, okay, what's that one little niche? And like when you think about your eyes, think about visual capacity as far as range of motion. And then that's where you get into, can you see things close by? Can you see things in outside of your strain, right? Your peripheral vision.
Yeah.
You know, you'd start wanting to look into, okay, how well are my eyes in that field? So it was intriguing enough where I hopped in with Josh. I still, you know, stuck with my strength background just because there's some, you know, there's a mutuality within just keeping it. It's where I started actually, for me personally, started stepping back just from being a strength coach, but looking at the performance aspect where I wanted to get more neurologically based, more emotionally based, because half of, as you would see with most athletes, there's more to it than just the sport itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we really dive deep into creating changes?
Yeah, because I ultimately looked into it.
I was going to say, because I was going to ask your experience with it, right?
Yeah, I...
Fireworks going off out
there. Oh my gosh, I was like...
Yeah.
What?
Fourth of July's coming, you
That's
know?
That's true. I didn't even think of that. I was like...
No, when you live in St. Paul long enough, you start distinguishing, yep, that's a gunshot and that's a firework.
Right, you're like, I got it.
10 years in St. Paul, and it's just like, now you know, you start noticing that, nope, that's not a gunshot.
Not the right pitch.
But yeah, so I think early on, like right out of college, I was like, the current life I'm living, probably not the best. And I would rather try to fix things now because I can probably prevent it then way down the road, and it's like, we can only probably get you back to 50%, like percent. So, and I'm like, I look at a computer all day for work. It talked about like reading and like headaches. So that's what kind of like brought me to it. And like when he walked me through everything, like it made sense to me. And I used to hate reading. And I remember him saying that like what's probably happening is like as you're reading, your eyes are just jumping around.
Yeah, just wiggling all over the place.
Yeah, and like you can't.
And just think about how abstract of a concept that is for you. Like especially think about like if you think about you, but then think about a kid trying to like tell you why they can't read. Like,
right.
I don't like reading.
Or even like for you yourself, like when you
were a kid.
Read,
you know?
Yeah. Like, and like the other thing is like where you track or like your eyes go in a circle. You're following
right,
something, and then. There's times where like it will get to a part of like the circle and your eye will jump out and then
literally avoid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It all may in a way how I would probably explain it since this is a.
This is not a visual podcast. This
is
an auditory.
It, yeah, like it hit a rock, so your eye darted
jumps out of the
away
way.
From it and then came back on. And I was like, that just like why wouldn't my eye just do that?
So what's crazy? So here's where we're kind of going. Deep into where a lot of this stems from. So the program had been around for some time, but it was pretty much like there's been a lot of adoption through via the U of M and Cal Deets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so like when you actually look at visual tracking, like think about this from like an archaic sort of view of you're a hunter-gatherer, you have an injury of sorts, or your body doesn't operate in a certain way. Let's say you injure your left knee, for instance.
Yeah.
Well, you have a beast coming at you, and you're mostly tracking things visually once again. So you see that thing coming. If you don't see, if you're not able to put that into your graphs, are you going to move in that direction? You wouldn't be able to because you don't know that field of plane exists.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you'll go any direction. So your body literally is trying to help you avoid injuries at points, you know, until it's able to stabilize again, but then you have to retrain it. So that's one mechanism of why does your eyes jump all over the place at times. Some of it is psychological. Some of it can be emotionally based. There's all sorts of, you'd have to go into actually like stress, like stress physiology to mm-hmm. look at like why, you know, even eyes dialed versus relaxed, right?
Yep.
Like those all relate into it. So it's crazy. I mean, it is crazy to look at how the body is able to like,
yeah,
use this as a regulatory method,
right?
Well, because like part of his eval is like you're training, what's it up close, like you're
convergent,
yeah,
yep.
And then
so convergent, close focus, and then divergent via peripheral range.
Like the peripherals was super high, like that was good, and then the issue was like stuff coming in close. And since I was a goalie and he was a goalie and we both played hockey, he like asked me like, when you had a shot come at you, do you think you ever lost it? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I can easily, if like the defenseman up at the point has it and he passes it over, I can see that without having to technically take my eye off the first defenseman. But if that defenseman gets the puck, I move over and now he takes a shot. Probably when it's, I guess I don't know the exact amount, but I just lost it. And that's probably how I let a few goals in.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's weird. And
you're trying to explain it. Yeah. How do you explain that to a coach? Right. Like, how do you, how would you, because I, this like even getting a diagnosis or getting checked, which is always like the number one recommendation.
Yeah.
Is just see where you're at. Do you actually need the help? Are you within a certain range or like, is this actually look like a necessity? But especially from an athletic standpoint, and that's where it becomes, you know, part of the grasp of like, you have to, like, you could still be a great goalie and have these issues going on. You've just adapted so well to overcoming the, and like, what if all of a sudden it's just like, hey, you don't have to technically deal with this anymore.
Right.
It's almost, like, that's almost even like frightening. I know to like some of the people that get presented this is like, but I've come so far, you know,
right.
Like, you know, like, but it is a little bit of that relief factor of like, okay, so I could be better.
Yeah.
Like that is the reality of it is things could be easier. I don't even have to think so hard about what I'm presently doing. And think of baseball, like, anything that requires, I mean, reaction based or looking, Do most sports you look
to see? I think a lot of sports
is,
you look.
But that is what's crazy. Now, the necessity to some sports makes sense, yes. Like batting and baseball. Yeah. I mean, I would say baseball just in general, obviously, yeah. Outfield. Goalies in hockey, obviously, have been the niche for Josh. Like, mm-hmm. It's been one of the top. Like, he's,
yep.
It's insane how many pro goalies he's worked with. Yeah. And then made an impact on, I would say, mm-hmm. as well. Not just worked with, but to actually see, like, crazy changes. And like I said, if you talk to Josh, he'll lead you all towards that. But
yeah, well, going on the sports as well, like, I was doing it ultimately for work and reading, and I didn't really realize I was seeing the improvements in, like, work and reading. The first time I would say a slap in the face, I'm like, wow, that, like, I can actually
not
do
like
this
strained
now. Yeah.
At work or
no, I was,
but even like, think about, maybe even just to hang out with this category, it's like, even think about the presently now blue blockers,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, how much of a craze that's almost come. And it's, yeah. Like, well, is that really, is it just because, are your eyes just getting strained from staring at a computer all day? And like, your visual capacity isn't actually up to speed with what,
yeah.
How your mind's right. working. Right. Or is, that's because I was wondering, I don't notice that much strain on my eyes, but I also know the necessity for blue blockers.
Yeah. And like, I have some right here.
Well, look at, there you go.
And I got asked to play in like a men's league. And the same thing that I talked about earlier happened was to that defenseman pass over shot. And I tracked it all the way in. And I'm like, holy shit.
Sign of relief, right?
Yeah, like, I'm like, I think I did this wrong week. Wait, no, I did it right.
is it like, it's just so funny. Cause it's like, you go back and you track to your child. It's like, man, if things could have just been easier, yeah. right? Like a little bit of that's the narrative, but it is good. Like you wonder how it would relate to your day-to-day activities as well.
Yeah.
And then I come out even from so there's also another company, like, so Josh had picked up a project with the 49ers. And in that was really cool because there was a neurology team there.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had used part of the visual training as part of their therapy session, all to show just how interconnected. I mean, obviously, so the eyes are connected to the brain, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then there's things such as convergent and divergent, like, thought processes as yep. well, where, am I focused on the here and now, or am I thinking the long range process of things?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's even crazy just to, that one would come about in like 2019, the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's just even crazy seeing that now interconnection. It's just like Josh's work is a step even forward of, because it's one thing to just address it, but then to actually go through, because basically it essentially said eyes have a specific range of motion and then they track in certain patterns.
Right.
And it's like, you just want them to match an ideal or optimal pattern that can, through, I think it, how long did it take you to do your program? It's more taking time, but it's about, what is it? How many sessions? Do you remember?
Is it 30?
Yeah, I was going to say it should, right about 30 sessions is when it should all, like, it locks in, and then it locks in pretty much for life with very minimal. There's a few things that happen via aging,
mm-hmm.
which is, understandable, but yeah. The majority of it is actually very sustainable. Like when we were in San Francisco, one of their guys had done their program about 10 years prior, and we retested him and he still scored 100%.
Oh, wow.
So just to show sustainability of right. it in a short window and actually getting it done and over with, and you don't have to really look at it again,
yeah.
All around.
Hey. That was a good one.
Yep. Well, and so I coach hockey, and like, I have like of the, cause I think my first year coaching, I was going through the vision stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I always tried to like get these goalies to like learn how to juggle, try the eye thing. And like all of them were like, why are you making me do this? And I'm like, do you want to play professionally? And it's like, this is going to help you. It's kind of unknown right now.
Right.
So,
and I think awareness is just, it's half of it. And that's part of when you look at it, like that's where it's crazy to see the pro adoption. And cause it's, and a lot of the necessity for that is obviously kids are still almost the priority. Like you almost, mm-hmm. you want kids to be the real, like, let's say, funnel behind all of this. But it's getting the pro athletes, it's getting at the, like, and now at like a multidimensional across various sports at pro levels,
yep.
and they see those guys doing it. Now mm-hmm. it's like, okay, they did it, I should do it too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it is, and so awareness, especially at this point, is everything. Like, just getting the word out,
yeah.
you know, little, now Josh is gone, they've gone very more about like posting juggling stuff on their Instagram too. So that's super beneficial. It's like, what can you do without, because that's half of the buy-in process is that subtleness of just the idea of, okay, maybe I should get it checked out, but let's just play with some of this stuff first.
Right.
Yeah.
To see if it's something that would interest people.
Before you fully plug in, right? Like that's half of it.
Well, I'm like, they're not
getting convinced. Yeah. Is so hard to do, right? Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to break it down into just easy things. I'm like, before every game and before every practice, you stretch. Like when you first get on the ice, like as you're stretching, look at a wording on the board and then look up at like the farther part and find a word and just go back and forth. And then when you're throwing the ball at the wall, like put something that you're focusing on and like try to do it where you're not actually tracking the ball. Yeah, where your peripheral
vision, like seeing it.
Yeah, I'm like, you're already doing this and you're ultimately, I said, like you're good at it. I'm now adding something to make you take another step because I was like, once you're at 100%,
you're just trying to progress things.
You're not really
put a little challenge, put spins on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I got some of them to buy in.
I think, and that's where I think it comes back to just understanding, right? Like when you don't understand that, because it's so foreign to so many, many people, right? Where unless you're really kind of at that stage of like readiness for it, but like, and that's half of it. It's like, I think that's where some of the bigger changes start to come as more pros get in, is people want to understand. They want to, because once you actually like see benefits of it, it's like, oh, so why does this work again? Mm-hmm. Like, because that just once again progresses the whole chain of like, okay, now I want to do this more seriously. Right. And so that's where I think, you know, really plugging more into like social media content and like spreading that acknowledgement. Josh does a really good job of he goes to quite a bit of like, let's call it seminars.
Yeah.
And just breaks down what is visual training, why does it work? And like, you know, with every sales pitch, it takes like 7 tries to like actually get a concept to grasp and work. And I should do that, right?
But, yeah. Yeah. Cause it would be 2 seasons ago. It was like ultimately the season during COVID. We got shut down for 2 weeks.
But hockey team.
Yeah, my hockey team. So we were trying to like meet with the team, I think it was like twice a week. And I'm like talking to the coach, like he through one of his friends, he was connected to a guy who played for UMD. I think he was in the AHL, and like they came on and brought, and like he talked about his journey, giving like advice of what you can do to get better. And then I asked Josh if he would come on.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that piece.
Yeah, and it was the most entertaining meeting I've ever been.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you get Josh, too. Like, have you asked him to come on the podcast yet?
He's on my list.
Okay, perfect. Because, I mean, yeah, he's just a hallmark of just, like, yeah, when you invite Josh to the party, it's a whole nother, it's a whole nother element.
Yeah.
We'll say it, we'll put it that way.
And, like, I emailed.
And that's half of it. Let's put it this way. Vision training can seem somewhat boring, and that's what makes Josh so much special, is the elements he adds to it. Because, I mean, I do find it quite exciting, but, I mean, that's half of because I get what's going on.
Right.
Right? But, like, from a young kid, it's getting engaged with it because it's like you're moving your eyes around, and it's like, well, how does that make sense? You know, like, it's all
about the buy-in, honestly. Well, that's, like, so beyond, thing.
Like, you know, what you're even at that age, like what you're thinking about is moving your eyes around because you don't see your eyes, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That it's such a weird concept. But then Josh comes in and that's where so much of the juggling and actually making it more hand-eye focused.
Yeah.
Because not every person would do that. And that's where he really specializes with athleticism. Let's be real. Like most kids really prioritize athletics.
Mm-hmm.
And the more serious they take their athletics, the more they'll take their training or things that are going to help them get to that next level, which I think that's the beauty of sports, is you start becoming goal oriented. You want to achieve things. You see the possibilities and, you know, you start questing of like, okay, how can I really make myself better? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I hope through all of the awareness I've brought to eyes to the Shakopee
community. This is a service announcement. Yeah. Right.
Everyone listen.
That like it got one person to go and work with Josh. And after that, I guess, meeting with him, like one of the parents emailed me and asked like, why did I do eye training? And I think they thought like I did it because of hockey. I'm like,
Cognitive. Yeah, it was all cognitive functioning. Isn't that the crazy part? Like,
yeah, I'm like, I did it for work. And they're like, what do you do for work? I'm like,
sit at a computer.
Yeah,
you know? I'm a professional hockey player.
Yeah, I was gonna say no. You could have like, you know, I'm like reading data all day. Like, yeah, you know, just sold hard right there.
And I think that like maybe reinsured them that like he saw value in this,
mm-hmm.
not in just hockey. And I was like, I'm not making the NHL. Like,
yeah.
There's still time, Jeremy. Hey, what Jeremy
was really
time.
Questing for was this was going to re-spurk his career. Yeah. Someone's going to notice him at the... I know what it is going yeah. for. It's probably that.
It's all about where you are and who
that,
you know.
It's that reserve goalie for the Wild. They're yep. going to see him at practice Sunday. Like, that's our guy right there. Look at the eyes on that guy.
Yeah, and I was like...
Jem.
Yeah. I'm like, it's kind of probably for your kid, like, killing... What is, yeah, two birds with one stone. Like, your son's going to benefit from the hockey aspect, but it may help him in school, may help him, I would probably just say, in life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the crazy part. So, like, vision training, so much of the research done in it was actually done with kids in juvenile detention centers of the reason they wound up there. They were problematic in school because right. they couldn't read. And because they couldn't yep. read, so they were bored, so they started goofing around, you know, or mm-hmm. start, and then they become known as the kid that goofs around, and
exactly
things escalate, right? And so they kept finding majority of the kids in juvenile detention centers were having some sort of visual component lagging behind. So it was really fascinating to hear that. Like, I mean, that was pretty early on, and so it's the even more like sports related necessity now too is concussion based. If kids have mm-hmm. concussions, it whacks out their whole visual system. And so coming back from that is just a half another reason to get it checked out. So
when I even remember like when you watched it on the news, you were like, I think I'm going to do this eye training. And me, I'm like, that was me being like,
crazy
dude, you're not going to get into the NHL. Like, why are you play old man's league, yeah. like chill. But I was living at my parents' house at the time, and I like went home and I was talking to my mom because, you know, casual dinner topic conversation. And I was like,
Jeremy's
yeah.
nuts.
Jeremy is literally I just said that you were looking into doing it. And my mom goes, yeah, your sister used to do that. Like when she was younger, because she was having difficulties reading. So they would do eye therapy where I just remember there was always, because I would always tag along, you know, younger yeah. sister, whatever. I'd always get the gumballs. They were eyeballs that were gumballs at our eye doctor. They were the best. They were disgusting, but they were so good. And she would like go in for however long, once a week or whatever. And she would have like the eye doctor would have like a dragon or like a dinosaur thing on her finger. And they would do like a lot of like tracking. And then you actually have it too, where it's like the yellow or the green,
the string,
yeah, the yep. string Rock with the string. Yep. beads on it. And I remember my sister doing that too, and so I was like, oh, so it's actually like not a just thing. For sports yeah, yeah, it's helping yeah. with
and
whatever
think, and that's what I think sports is like the more you drift it towards yeah this is sports performance yeah right? Like it's just like the cool factor it,
right
it's the and I it like yeah I mean that in itself right it changes
everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I've noticed it too with you in reading, even like now you actually like sit and read for enjoyment. You're not just like, I have to read this, so I need to sit and focus on this. Like you read more often because it's not as
yeah.
difficult.
Daunting of a task.
Yes, it's
like,
not
you
like
can actually do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this will pivot into another topic. Like growing up, I definitely had concussions, but I didn't really know what they were. And then one thing we also share is we've both had brain surgery.
Yeah.
And that I played hockey after it. And then like I noticed a lot of difficulties. So that was like another thing I looked into eye therapy. And
like early on, or that's why, or
yeah, that would have been, I had it when I was like a junior in high school.
Okay.
So I waited until after college.
Was yours like what caused your brain surgery?
So I was like before the brain surgery, I don't remember too much.
Okay. Yeah.
But I do remember.
I mean, it makes sense. Like it's your brain.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I do remember a couple things. I remember, so like ultimately how it all started was one morning I woke up and like I felt like I was going to throw up. So like I stumbled to the bathroom, threw up, went back to bed. And then like I just couldn't be up. Like I just felt like everything was like going. Shaky.
Yeah.
Felt like I was going to throw up. And they called the doctor and my doctor was like, he's probably dehydrated. So they said, bring him to the hospital. And I remember my mom and my next door neighbor having to like carry me, and I'm not a heavy guy, but I'm relatively tall.
Relatively.
Yeah. So I remember them like working together to just get me in the car. And then I remember bits and pieces driving to the hospital. The last part I remember is going into like a hospital bed and then nothing part of the ambulance ride because the hospital I went to couldn't do
brain surgery.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the doctor who was just about to leave, like in a way, perfect timing, came in. They're like, his doctor think he's dehydrated, and she's like, it doesn't add up. Like he can't move. He's throwing up. Like something. He's like,
it's worse here.
She's like, let's do an MRI, and that's how they caught it, was that my brain was so
bleeding pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how multiple different times through the process, like I was out of it, and they at different times they didn't really know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
So I think the one that sticks in my head the most, I think it's called like a venous angioma.
Okay.
And it's ultimately when you are born, you're just a bunch of blood vessels in your brain, and like it expands and turns into your brain. Well, there was a ball that did not expand, and the interesting part is that they were able to tell that it bled once before.
Okay.
So crazy. Then,
yeah.
So then, like, now I'm just trying to think back. I'm like, was it that day? Was it that day?
Right, right.
And then, so ultimately, what they had to do is go in and cauterize
it. So then ours was the same one, pretty much. Because I had an AVM.
Okay. Or
atrial venial malformation. It's different. Does that sound right?
Probably.
Because mine was a birth defect. Same thing.
Yep. So mine ultimately was a birth defect. And mine was on, I should know this because I had surgery on it, the cerebellum, like the farthest back part.
Yeah.
And they didn't really know how many were going to be there. So they just said, so my doctor was kind of just going in blind and saying, I know shit's going on back there.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ultimately what I was also told is my brain's, that, or the main drainage in my brain is misshapen, and that's ultimately what caused everything. And the slight risk of it is there's times where they have to go in and remove the drainage and put in
like periodically
stint and like drain it on its own. But my doctor, like, I'm hoping just from scar tissue you won't have to do that. But the only thing I do remember as well is them telling my mom, like, 90% of the times these are caught in autopsies. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
That's
the best thing to tell a mom right there. Exactly. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, and like,
well, it's weird to think your brain is, you're born with a defected brain, you know what I mean? And you live with it, and it's like,
for so long, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what?
You have zero awareness of it, like, for the most part.
Yeah, and I was like, and now, like, as I got older, like, I started to, like, put everything together.
Yeah, you process things.
I'm like, what if that doctor didn't? Like, I arrived 5 minutes later, and that doctor was no longer on call.
Timing's insane, right? Like,
yeah. And I'm just like, I can't think that. Like, I'm just glad it worked.
Yeah, you'll dig yourself a rabbit hole there.
And I have, so through the process, I met a good friend of mine. I didn't meet him through the TV. I was watching hockey in Minnesota.
And obviously watch a lot of TV. Yeah. You know, yeah. Just like, that's the guy right there. Yeah. That's my guy.
Yeah. And on Hockey Day Minnesota, they were doing a story on this kid. He played for not Holy Family, Hill Murray. And he was he grew up playing at Shattuck.
Did he write the book?
Yes.
Yeah. Someone just gave me that book the other day and said I should, like, hey, this guy is like the same as you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
because he's like, is he paralyzed a little bit? Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. And
I wasn't sure the severity of.
So I plan to have him on as well.
Yeah.
Because he has a great story as well. Mm-hmm. So they kind of told his parents the same exact thing. Like, we don't really know. And the bad part for him was his was in his brainstem, which is a lot harder to get to than mine would in the back of the brain. And I'm like, the hospital like gave me these like support groups, but like all of them are like 80-year-old dudes. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, a lot of people, everything is, what do you call it? Is aneurysms. Everyone asks if you had an aneurysm. Yeah. So you just go, sure, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. After a while,
it's the same thing. Great.
And I was like, yeah, I kind of can relate to these guys, but not really.
Yeah.
So like my mom was watching and she's like, most parents probably wouldn't tell you to do this, but like you should reach out to him.
Oh, that was God calling right there. You should probably reach out to him. That's actually the call from God.
Yes.
So I reached out to him, met with him, and
that's actually, so I forgot. So that alarm is actually the time I went into surgery. I forgot that I'd do that.
Oh.
So because I have alarms set on my phone at like certain times, but that one, funny enough, that is actually set at 8:45, which is the time they brought me into surgery. But the crazy part is always, so I had been using alarms on my phone to say, hey, take a minute and just take a breath and just be present.
Yeah.
And so my sister, I just told her that the weekend before. And so when they're in the hospital and they're rolling me into surgery, my alarm went off and she's like, oh my God, this is Nick talking to us right now to tell us to be present. Yep. Like, and just be patient. Like,
yeah.
So oh, was, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it was such a wild, like, I forget, you know, because it just, the alarm goes off every day, so you just don't always register the story.
Yeah, well.
And, so I'm so used to it, just saying that, like, oh, yeah, it's just to be present. Sorry, it's just a
pre-present. Right, you're like, nope, it's just God, it's fine. But then you're like, wait, no.
Wait, hold on, I forgot the story.
Actually.
Of what we're talking about, actually, right here and now. It's all here.
Yeah, that's, like, the crazy things is, like, and then, like, my mom was talking to his mom, and, like, we all had the same thing, it's just different locations. The first surgery went really well, but the thing that made it worse is there was an infection from the surgery.
Oh.
And the doctor he had is very educated and is probably a good, I guess, brain surgeon. But I don't know how I found it, but there was like a couple of things where it said like he's at other cases where he had infections. And I'm like, with anything in surgery, like,
there's a risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the surgeon he had was on vacation when I went in and I got a different doctor.
Okay.
And I'm like, this
crazy
is
crazy. That's even the same.
So I'm, and like, both doctors are probably great.
Oh, yeah. For but sure.
It's just crazy that
the oddity of it being the same doctor.
Right.
In itself.
Yeah.
Right?
So
the coincidentalness of it all.
Yeah. So I just met with him and I'm like,
and I probably had the same surgeon's cousin.
Oh, right.
But yeah, I met him. And
so did you wind up, did they put you in a coma after your surgery? Do you remember that at all?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just assume so.
Yeah. Cause I was in for about, I was in about a week.
Okay.
I just remember I hate Jell-O now.
Yep.
Because like you can't eat anything; it's only liquid, and it's like, all right, we got grape or lime. Like, well, I hate lime, but I've also ate grape for the last like 2 weeks.
So you just went with the lime. You just had to do it.
But yeah, the only thing I remember of post surgery is they put a catheter in and I refused.
Oh my God. I remember the catheter too.
Yeah.
Like, oh God.
And I refused to pee in it. I'm not doing this.
Yep.
And they're like, you have to.
It's so funny that you're thinking of that.
Yeah.
So then, I was still out hard.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, like there is a lot of outducing me of like from the coma state.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of like, you just get these like moments. And I mean, I probably could recall most of them.
Yeah.
But that was one specifically where I felt the catheter in. I'm like, oh shit. Like this must be bad. You know, like kind of one of those moments. I'm like,
oh God.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not peeing in this.
Well, I tried taking mine off. Oh, like I tried ripping mine out. Like my roommate who's a nurse, right? And he's you know, he's kind of been by my side for the last week. He's like, you don't want to do that.
Nope. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not gonna do it. I just wanna look like I'm gonna pretend like I'm doing it. So they just take it out. So, you know, like they get the point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, I'm sick of this. I don't want to do this anymore.
You
guys
literally have, like, you had brain surgery, and you're like, catheter? No. Fuck that. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Hey, you want me to relax to pee? No.
If there's one thing that's going to get you out of the bed, you know what I'm saying?
You're like, nope.
Yeah. Well, they're like, all right, fine. We're going to take it out, and you're going to have to lay down and pee in this, like, ultimately a very large cup. I'm like, I'm not doing that either.
Oh, my
God. And I had a girl nurse, and then it was my mom. And the nurse is like, I'm not big enough to help you get out of bed to get on to the toilet, nor do I think myself and your mom could do it. And due to probably legal reasons, I can't have your mom help me. I'm like, I'm not doing it. So the nurse went up to the second floor and got a guy nurse to come down, lift me out of bed, put me on the toilet so I could pee, and then put me back into the bed.
Just the process of that.
Yeah.
I mean, just in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I remember is now I was in outpatient. But I was like, I left the hospital to go to another wing.
Yeah, you're like, just in a different wing, like the recovery unit.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was like,
could be there for X amount of time.
And they, I think it was like,
it's just not as serious.
Yeah. And I think it was like the one night my mom went home to sleep because she like slept all the other times at the hospital. They said, you have to like alert a nurse to come make sure that you can walk to the bathroom.
Oh yeah, trust me. I know all about this one.
Yeah. And I
probably pissed off those nurses so many times because we're probably going to tell the same story where I just get out of the bed and I just go.
Yeah.
I just set off all the alarms.
Yeah. I'm like,
all the alarms. They just got set. They're like, I wasn't even in the recovery unit yet, and they took the alarms off of me. And like, fine, if you got someone here, do it on your own.
Like, yeah.
They're like, room 300. We're moving leave
you
to
the. Yeah, they're like, we're moving you to recovery unit. Get this kid out of here. No, it wasn't that bad. But
like, I was like, I doubt they actually have alarms. I'm like, I can do this. Get over bed. Like all the alarms. Like, what the fuck did I just do? So like, they just like lay back in bed and they. Come
what
in.
Happened?
Yeah. No,
like, oh yeah. And,
crazy. You should have seen it.
Yeah. Right, this guy jumped in the window.
Whoa.
Yeah. They're like, you just tried to get out of that. I'm like, no, I didn't. They're like, no, you did. There's alarms. I'm like, I bet something fell. And they're like, no.
16-year-old Jeremy is like,
no, but they're like,
no.
But they're like,
wait, like, is it weight censored?
Yeah, it's based on the weight of the bed. So they're like, something falling won't set this off. And I'm like, damn it. thought I was clever. I guess I lost it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so like, how did you find out?
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, it actually relates all back to what we were talking about. It was, so I was working with Josh.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that San Francisco project. And why I even put that in the story is because like so much of that project, I've been looking into neurology, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so fast forward, just one night decided to go to my parents' house. Like we're going to book a trip. And I'm like, we're going to go to Mediterranean. Like, I don't know, even it was just spontaneous or just like decided that was the night to do it. Went there like late at night, just like mom crashing here. Like,
right.
We'll just figure this out in the morning. Right. So wake up, super normal morning, but kind of that same thing was like, all of a sudden, like I started getting like kind of this ache on the back of my head. And I'm like, all right, that seems a little off, but just, I don't know. It's just a headache. It'll probably go away. And then going to leave and I go to pick up my bag and I'm like, oh shit, like I'm gonna pass out. And like right there I see my mom and like I didn't, and like just like this alarm, I didn't process it in the moment.
Yeah.
But like my mom had overslept her alarm and she's like a VP at her company, like that just doesn't happen. She chose not to go in.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, something, maybe something has happened downtown, but she chose not to go into work that day.
Yeah.
I go and pass out on the couch. And like, that was pretty much like it. Like for me, like it was like, I had some like really crazy, like cycle, like moments, like in that time, like where like I was having like super crazy outer body experiences, like watching myself on the bed. Like I remember like so vividly, I was watching myself just crying, like bawling and laughing. Cause I'm like, it's funny. Like, and I'm just, it was so vivid.
Yeah.
It's like I, my body's crying, I'm there crying, but I'm here and I'm fine.
Yeah.
And it's the oddest like moment of my life, but like, it's just like, don't worry, everything's going to be perfectly fine. Like we got this covered. And so what would happen? So I basically black out there. My mom's like, doesn't know what to do, but then she kind of leaves me alone and I start like wobbling in and out of the bathroom. Same thing.
Yeah.
Like, cause I don't know if I was going to puke or like, you know, a dog runs away when it's about to die.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden she just hears me bang, like hit the ground, runs down, calls, you know, the 911, and they're like, you know, they're trying to figure out what's happening because I'm just saying goofy shit at this point, right? Like all sorts of random stuff. Like what hurts, Nick? I'm like, my butt hurts. Like,
well, you know, that's like, his mom said, like the way to describe it was she just was like, Jeremy just kept seeming like he was drunk.
He was drunk. Well, they kept going, did he OD? Like they kept asking if I OD'd on or like, does he take, you know, like, does he seem like a kid who might be like in drugs? Like all they would ask. And my mom's like, no, like he's, I think it has something to do with his brain. Like I think it has, cause I've been talking so much about neurology,
right?
Like all these like different conceptual models that she's like, I don't know, it's gotta be it. And so like, hit the nail on the head because
that was a good one.
But they brought me in. They almost knew right away to do MRIs, but then they looked at it and like, I was done. Like if you look at it, it was so bad. Like my brain had pretty much shifted 10 millimeters to the left, which like one more millimeter and that's it. So just the timing of things, like cause earlier they're like, okay, well, we'll do the surgery tomorrow. But then they re-looked at everything and like, no, we got to go now.
Yeah.
And so, but they told my parents that was it. Like, they're like, you know, we're going to go through with it, but like, we just got to let you know, like,
oh my God,
like, the odds at this point are pretty slim. So we're going to go through with it. We'll clean it up. And then surgeon came back super confident though. And was like, but the reality is like severely disabled the rest of his life. Like probably won't be able to walk again. Cause, and I don't know what they removed from mine. Like I've looked at it. It's something on the left side of my brain. And it's about like, you know, mine was about the size of a golf ball.
Okay.
Right about how much they removed of my brain. To get this out, or a walnut, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
So irrelevant. So it was crazy. I mean, because then for me it was, you know, because I'm out of all that. Like that wasn't even like zero awareness of any of those moments, so to speak. Like for me, it was like straight like coming out of the coma of like just like what is going on?
Where
like,
am I? What is
like no preparation for it, like no mental. Backstory to tell of like headaches or anything of that nature, but like, you know, my like having like, and I don't know if yours is like this, but I had to relearn how to walk again, which is super bizarre.
Yes, that was
you got legs and they work and moving. They didn't think my right side of my body was gonna work again. So that was like, that was half of it was once they started getting like pulsation, like they were like, okay, they got super optimistic because it happened so early on after surgery.
Yeah.
But yeah, then they took me out of the bed. Like I remember that was like one of the first visuals was like getting hoisted out of the bed and like them like trying to help me like march in place. And I was like, and I remember just having that moment of like, okay, I get this seems bad, but like it doesn't have to be this way.
Right.
Like it doesn't have to be this bad. And so it just like is kind of like constant repetition of like, you know, like I know it sucks right now, but like, cause I lost all my vocabulary, like how to learn everything over again. Like for a moment, I should say I lost it all because I couldn't like comprehend like words anymore. I'm like in third grade, like all it was like Billy Madison in a nutshell. Like that was the first thing. Like, so I still remember things. Like there's stuff that it would come to my head. I couldn't put words to describe it.
Right.
Like every day they come in and they're like, hey, what's that on the wall? And I'm like, I don't know. It tells time though. Like,
so you knew what it was.
What
you
is it?
Didn't know what I the don't word know. Was.
Like, yeah.
Or, yeah.
Because that's how I, like, I guess, yeah, like, I had to relearn how to walk. But the thing is, like, in my brain, I'm like, I know how to do this. Why isn't my body doing this?
Right, right.
And I guess that's the only thing, like, I'm pretty sure my, like, I had some speech stuff too, but it that was, like, the weirdest part is, like, you're kind of out of body. You're like, I'm trying to do this. And I know how to do it, but I can't do it, and I don't know why I can't do it.
Right.
So it's a lot like in your brain, you're like, I can do
well,
this.
Well, you're just trying to solve it, right? Right. In some ways. But then, like, I mean, for me, I was just like, well, I'm not meant to solve this, though. Like, my brain does so much for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, my body does so much. Like, I remember telling myself this, and that's just half of just, you know, where I was at in my headspace at this point. But I was like, you know what? My body's so automatic that if I just leave it alone, you know, it's kind of like a little kid. Like, if you just leave it alone, it'll do what you want it to do kind of thing. Where it's like, hey, if I just kind of mind my own business, and it's like, I don't care. Like, and I don't know. Like, did they put you on a lot of medications?
Probably.
Yeah. And I was just like, I'm not going to, like, I don't want to be on medication.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, where it's just like, I can't tell if it's these drugs that are making me all this loopy or if it's, you know, like, if that is that half of it. So I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to go with it for the time being.
Yeah.
Because they're telling me, like, it was going to take 2 years to go through all this.
Oh, wow.
And so I was just like, oh, which is like, if it takes 2 years, it takes 2 years.
Yeah.
So be it. But, like, it was like, it just, yeah, everything just kind of just, like, went at, like, hyper speed at some point where it was just ready to be over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I
actually enjoyed it quite a bit. Not going to lie. Like, there's part of it where you just kind of have to, like, and I don't know if you were like that or, like, if you remember it, but
maybe. And I guess
I get where not a lot of people were, but I was just like,
but, like, what about it did you enjoy? Like, well, what was, like, enjoyable?
Well, for me, it was like, since I lost so much vocabulary, mm-hmm. I was like, well, it's like, I kind of get to be a kid again. Like, I'm kind of, like, in third grade again, where it's like, I don't get things. Like, I kind of get things.
Yep.
So I'm just going to milk this for what it is.
Right.
A little bit of, like, hey.
No, I don't remember that word. Great.
Well, I'll just watch Disney movies and, like, kind of, like, a little bit where I just got to be a little more playful about it. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to take this too seriously because, like, everyone else is sad for me. Like, I don't want people to be sad for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, you know, I just want to just
make the most of what we got.
My hospital time as I got it, right?
Like, yeah. Like, I guess
I'll come back when I'm older, maybe. Yeah. But, you know.
I just remember how I phrase it, like, I know what it's like to take your first steps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, most kids, you don't remember. You probably have a video of you taking your first steps. And that is, like, the thing that I thought was, like, the coolest is, like, I know what it's like.
Oh, yeah. Well, then that was so much. It's like this. Yeah. So that's a hallmark right there, because it is like, if I could put words to it, right? It's like everyone talks about, oh, I was reborn again, right? I'm like, oh, this is like, there was a whole, like, emotional sense of things, of, like, sensing, like, oh my God, like, this is what it feels like. Mm-hmm. Like, because, like, yeah, when you're a little kid, you don't remember being born. But I remember having those moments of, like, holy crap, like, this is what it feels. So I think I got so much enjoyment, excitement out of it. It fueled, like, a lot of my optimism of just, like, what was going on. Because something did feel really weird about that whole, that's right, I don't negate, like, the, let's say, spiritual elements that are associated with it, right?
Yeah. I mean,
not that it needs to go there, right? But it's just like, there's some, let's call it emotional, just feelings that you get when you're going through mm-hmm. it of like, yeah, like, think about that capacity to be able to, like, really feel like what it's like to walk again.
Right.
Or, like, try to, you know, piece in, like, how words work, right? Mm-hmm. Like, kids, you watch kids, like, stumble around trying to piece words together, form a sentence. Like,
yeah.
It's like, man, that's such a daunting task. Like, I remember thinking about, like, this is a daunting task. Like, 27, and I got to relearn mm-hmm. how to do math. This was, like, early on where I'm like, man, that could take, like, 100 years. How fast did I learn it again? Like, like, I was like, I don't know how old I am. Like, yeah. The funny part, they kept asking me, how old are you? And I'm like, I
know
18?
My... Like, this many. You're like, yeah, this exactly. many? Like,
because once again, I had no grasp of even, right. like, I had no idea where I was on the map. Like, they'd show me a map. I'm like, I got nothing for you. Like, and that one, I truly got nothing for mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, I don't think I will ever be able to forget my birthday, because it is the question they ask you every single time.
They do.
Some type of medical person comes in the room.
Yeah, every day. Yep.
And I'm like, I just answered this 5 minutes ago. It hasn't changed. Like, can we just try something new?
Right, right.
Like,
what's your favorite color? Oh, we don't have that on file.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know if, yeah, enjoy is probably not the best way to phrase it. But like, if someone's like, if you could go back and you had the option to, like, it didn't happen, would you? And I always tell myself, like, there's the part of me that says yes, because then my family didn't have to go through that, and brain surgery is probably not cheap. So there's that.
Yeah.
But it definitely helped me. It made me into who I am today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it made me appreciate things a lot more. And I like that. I love that that happened.
Right. Well, I mean,
it's like it made me, I would say, slow down, live in the now, like, know that tomorrow's not promised. And that's kind of how I like that.
Yeah, you learn it, and you learn it at a young enough age, right? Like, it's hard to go through that and say it doesn't resonate deeply within,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you're about to go forth from here on out, right?
Like, yes.
How could you walk away from that and just
yeah, when like go you back experience to business it
as usual, right?
At like 16, 17, like yeah. What was I doing at 16, 17? I got my driver's license. Like, I honestly didn't care about anybody but myself. Like, you experience that at such a young age that you have this appreciation not only for like life itself, but also the people that are around you and like your support system. Like, that is insane to experience at such a young age. And even just in general in life, like, I've never had something like that where I would be put in that situation. So like, to hear it from both of you is very interesting to me at any age to experience something like that.
Because I don't think everyone could or has, you know, and I know that for a fact, has been able to just, let's say, walk out of these moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, especially because, and you probably remember this, but like early on, it's so raw.
Yeah.
It's so like, and you get the feeling of raw at that point. Like, not only has your head been cut open and someone touched your brain, right?
Yeah.
But like, it's like, there's a whole different sensation of like, yeah, like anything could really take over me right now.
Right.
In some sense. And this could really go down like this is such a fresh start, a fresh beginning, that it's truly the like point of, let's call it free will or deliberation of like, what way do I want to really set mm-hmm. forth? And it's like, yeah, if it's a bad experience, like a super one, I could easily, I mean, I don't think anyone would ever look at me or even or you. And if you came out, let's say, with negative experiences or bad, you know, emotional scars from PTSD type things, which, you know, are part of it, right?
Yeah.
And that's a half of it. Like, I'm glad I experienced, like, because, you know, there'd be points like in the hospital where I just break down crying
because
mm-hmm. It's just like so much to, you know, on your plate to get over. That's like, how am I to do this?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
The best way
where you're like, that's where I was like, for me, because of, I don't know what it was, but I was like, just like little kids' emotions, like, I don't hide that. I tell everyone about it. I was just, you know, my emotions were just so raw and those, like, where I just didn't know how to react. So I just cry, you know, it's just the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I didn't want, like, it to be, like, posted on social media when social media really wasn't a thing back then. Because, like, and I think it's even now, like, I didn't want people to look at me different or have it define who I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the one, and this is probably like the humor side in me, is like, I was, you know, I guess I was progressing faster than they thought I would. Because originally they're like, he's probably not going to be able to start school on time. And if he does, it's kind of a toss up if he's going to be in a wheelchair, a walker, or a cane. And I remember being like, wait, I can go to high school in a wheelchair or have a cane.
Oh my.
And they're like, oh yeah. Yeah. I'm like,
Snoop Daddy over there.
Yeah. Yes. I'm like, I don't need to walk anymore.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh yeah, no, I don't remember that. Yeah.
But, and they're like, so you don't want a walker? I was like, no. But then part of me, now I'm like, all three of those, I probably would have thought it was cool that I'm just like going through high school.
Yeah, like a hover round or something and like beeping at kids.
But yeah, like that, I was just like, I'm.
So funny, because I was the complete opposite. First thing I did was like, Mom, hand me my phone. Like, this is my like first day out of the coma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was more so, I think I knew everyone had no one.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck
here
it.
Here we go.
Fuck it.
Yep.
It was a picture of me in my coma going, I don't even remember what I wrote. Because I was like, I could barely type. So I was like trying to like fingle or whatever I could together. I did know that the iPhone could, if I can't spell, the phone probably can pick up on what I want it to say.
Yeah.
I think I just put like 100 emoji next to me in a coma.
And you're like, that's all I need.
I'm going up. Don't worry, guys. Because it's just like, I already knew. At that point, everyone had known because of social media.
Yeah.
That, and it was like, I'm different in that sense. It's like, I almost rather people just know, like.
And it's not, and I think it's.
I think it's
people
fun.
Don't like out, like skirt around it. You know, they're not like, oh, so yeah, brain surgery? Like what?
You piece of shit.
Right. Yeah. I can't believe you would do that. Yeah. But like, I mean, there's like, when we first started dating, Jeremy and I, like my family, I would just like casually say it, just kind of, cause like,
I mean, so casually now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Cause it's just like, it's who he is. He experienced it. Cause it just made me laugh.
Who gets to tell that story?
Right.
Number one, who gets to ever tell? I'm like, I literally was at somewhere yesterday and I go, yeah, you know, it's probably the wildest story you're going to hear, but it just.
And you're like, yeah, okay.
So you tell your family.
Yeah. So I was saying something about, because so Jeremy obviously is hilarious. And like when he was a freshman in college, like obviously you can't, or like you shouldn't drink. And, you know, getting the freshman experience, he would drink O'Doul's, like NA beer.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the funniest thing because it's fun. Like it's just funny.
Everyone else is drinking, right?
Yeah. And he's just like pounding back O'Doul's.
Yeah.
And so I was telling that to somebody in my family or whatever, and they're like, well, why couldn't he drink? And I'm like, oh, he had brain surgery. You know, like totally nonchalant. And they're like, I'm sorry. Let's what?
Yeah, everyone's face just kinda goes,
holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like I know at work I don't lead with it.
Right.
And
it just comes up.
Yeah.
Hi, brain surgery. I'm Jeremy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, like, no, what?
Well, that's why I want to shave, kind of like, you know how like I was about to do it actually for the podcast.
For the visual aspect of the podcast.
Well, because you know, like it's the cool thing, like shave the sides of your head and still have the long hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting prepared for it. I was just like, I'm not ready to do this. I'm like, read the tutorials. It'd take about an hour to do the cut. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to do it today.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did this Tuesday, but I was like, I'll procrastinate. But it is kind of like, it's such a, I mean, the scar is pretty like, it's wild. So it's I might just want to show it off. Everyone will just go, how do you get that scar shot in the head?
Like shark attack. You'll never believe.
Exactly.
My favorite is getting haircuts. Cause like mine's on the back. So it's covered in hair, but it's like right where they like start to like, cut, I guess, the length, you can see it. And most people be like, oh, there's a scar back here. I'm like, oh, yeah. And they're like, oh, so like
brain surgery, you know, casually. Yeah.
Casual.
And then they're like, oh, shit, what do I do now? I'm like,
well, you can cut my hair.
Keep cutting my hair. That's why I'm here. But like, yeah, I act like it's nothing, but also it's like, at work, like people like when they first learn, you can tell they're like, ooh, how do I handle this? And it's just like, it happened to me.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Well, and I get where obviously there's going to be a lot of, there are probably more circumstances outside of our normality of how the outcome happened to be. Right.
Yep.
It's like, I get where there's sensitivity around the subject. I was just like, you just don't have to be sensitive around me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I let my cousins make fun of me all the time for it. You know, it's just half of what we did. Like,
but I think that's also like a part of the coping mechanism. Like, that's your way of coping. And you're like,
exactly.
It happened. Like, great, cool.
Because I view it as like,
if they notice a difference, right? Because that's the first thing. Because like people like, did anything change? Mm-hmm. Like, well, it could have, but it didn't. You know, like,
right. You're like,
but it's like, do you notice any change? Like, if anything, probably not. Like, you know, and.
Yeah. I was usually. Well, now that, like, because I have a tattoo that has, like, the date That
oh, yeah.
It happened.
I was going to ask when, yeah. Where did the tattoo come from?
Sick tat.
So yep. Now, like, that will bring it up, but, like, usually at work, like, I could walk, but, like, my balance, they say it may never come back to what it was, or it could, and it's just taking a super long time.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, there's going to be times when, like, you might be walking behind me and you're like, is this kid drunk?
Right, right.
And I'm like, it's because of this. And I'm like, I hate, like at my work, there's like, I'm on the second floor, but there's like a cut that you can look down and see everyone. Then there's cubes, but there's this very narrow like thing that, and everyone tries to walk on that. And I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, not happening.
And they're like, why? I'm like, because of this. And I'm like, I guess I have the rails, so it's not too bad. But I'm just like, I don't know. I just prefer to go
the round. Most. Go the round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Find a different way.
Yeah, but yeah, and then like my left side had like initially, I just thought it was like it started with just like my left arm would just twitch, and they just said that's like something.
Yeah, side effects.
Yeah, and it's like. Over time, it's gotten, like, slightly worse, I would say. But I found out that, like, on my dad's side of the family, a lot of them have some type... I don't know the name, but it's, like, some type of tremor.
Okay.
And what I learned through brain surgery as well is, like, right after brain surgery, I started getting migraines a lot. And I'm like, what the hell? And my neurologist said... With large impacts to the brain, I'm like, brain surgery? That's nothing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but they're like, you ultimately probably what happened is, I don't know if I'd want to say migraine is like a gene, but they're like, it was living dormant.
Yeah,
and the brain surgery brought it out,
mm-hmm.
And that's what I asked. I'm like, with the tremors, I'm like, it's common on my dad's side. Could have I, in a way, like. The same as migraine, it was dormant, but the brain surgery brought it out, and they're like, probably.
Okay.
But yeah, like, other than that, like, that's the really only thing.
That's been impacted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Post it, yeah.
And most people, I'd probably say, don't notice until, like, I have to point it out, or they're like, are you drinking on the job now?
No. Yeah.
Have you noticed anything?
No, I mean, that's our...
When did you get your surgery? I'm sorry.
So mine was, it'll be 3 years in October.
Okay.
So, no, it's been pretty, you know, nothing. I mean, like, early on, obviously, and, like, I mean, like, early on as far as, like, the year after, like, you'd have, like, I'd have moments of, like, spasms,
mm-hmm.
and, like, spasms were more like... couldn't put words together
okay.
again, like right out of bouts of that stuff. But no, I mean, that's where what's been crazy is I would say the last year has been completely just like over it. Like,
yeah.
In a lot of ways of just like, not even like any psychological effects as far as like, cause like early on is just like, cause I had passed out or blacked out when yep. I was falling asleep sort of like style, like going to bed was like a weird, like, little bit of a thing of like, yeah. You know, do I really want to go to sleep? Like, am I going to wake up? Am I going to wake up in the hospital a little bit again? Like,
yeah.
Sort of those questionnaires. But, you know, that was just more of it. It was just getting over like the effects of it.
That's a huge trauma too. Oh, so like,
and that's where like, and this, that's where like early on, like that's where it's like, but it's just like half of it was just me working through it with my, and that's where it's like, I get where people would want like support groups and help groups. Cause mm-hmm. it's like, And that's where it's like almost even, and that's where I say go back to like my preparation like to the year before, and so much of what I'd been doing had been like, it seems so much to me like everything was getting me ready to just move through this, let's say with as little effort as possible of like, you know, even just talking to myself of like, you know, working through my own stuff. Cause it's like, it's not that I'm embarrassed to go talk to someone about mm-hmm. it, but it's like, no, I can help myself. Like,
right.
You know, just like, how do I go about helping myself? So that was crazy. And for me, it was also, you know, a big part of it was I saw it as an open window. It was like, okay, if I do have this part of my brain now open and I am you know, kind of going to go through new cognitive functionings, let's say, or, you know, if I'm relearning things, you know, what's my capacity to learn new subjects? So that's where it was like, okay, can I go back a little bit to what I was doing before and then like really expand it? So I was like, yeah, that's what I was like, that's where a lot of the whole, let's say, crypto NFTs really spurred from, was like me and my brother had already been kind of engaged on the subject, and that's what got us to dive real deep, was like, okay, here's a moment, here's a window, and let's get immersed in it. And so I was like, because it's kind of like, yeah, if I can, if kids can relearn languages or like have five languages,
yeah,
it's like, what if I could have like new academic structure, you know, like, so I was just, I'm gonna self, because I already had to spend, well, it's crazy, like, even look at the timeline. So like October, pass out, wound up being in the hospital only for a month, you know, got out, and then I still had to be at recovery at my parents' house till pretty much January.
Okay.
And then, but COVID set in March.
Right.
So there's another window to keep this whole system learning, like, and, like where, like, it was almost like everything was like, okay, here's more time to sit and recover, learn, like, because re-engage, like, so you don't have to just rush back. Because, like, especially, like, for me, it was like, am I able to just go back to life as usual? You know, like my, like go back to work, like, and be my same person. Cause like, you know, that's hard part of like when you're on a job and when you're coaching, like you're trying to be an influence. And it's like, I didn't at that point feel like a person of influence. Like here I am like trying to make my own recovery.
Right.
Yeah.
Trying to help people.
Right. You like know, how much help would you be?
And it's like, I get like, you know, and it's like, I get like, I'd be extreme amount of help, but it's just so much of me was just like, you know, let's ease our way into this.
Yeah.
Let's not try to like, who cares? Like,
when I'm sure like COVID and the pandemic hitting at that time also was helping to help ease things too. Cause like,
oh, that's
nobody
like,
was doing anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like the fact that everything was just all of a sudden shut down, like I didn't have to go back to work like this instant.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that took so much pressure off.
I'm
like,
sure. Yeah.
Especially cause that's where like, I think the difference of age too, it's like, that's like some of the variable, right? Like that's kind of, it's even the coolness of it. We were at like almost extreme opposites ends of when it happens. Like, you know, you're going through high school and it's like, now I'm in the workforce, like, right?
Well, I think they, I just remember my, I don't know who said this, but they say like people who get married after the age of 25, statistics show that they stay together longer, and they, that their logic.
Is that why you guys waited?
Yeah.
It's exactly why.
It wasn't looked at the state of, bam, there it is.
You know, Jeremy and his numbers and statistics and things.
And it, because they state that like at age 25 your brain stops like developing,
it's fully developed at that age.
Yeah.
So like that has always made me think of like, maybe did mine stop at 27 because I had brain surgery?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is it, it stopped at 25 but it only got to 90%, or did this actually do nothing and I still got to 100%? Like, it makes me think about those things. But yeah, I,
Napoleon Hill, he put in, so he has the book, I don't know if you know, it's like The Law of Success. Have you heard of that one? So he's known for Think and Grow Rich, but then Law of Success was taken off the markets for a long period of time. Like they didn't want that stuff exposed. Mm-hmm. But he even put, he put in that one, in awareness of that, he was like, it's, then he extended it to like 35. There's like this whole nother branch for like 10 years of like 35 is like where you still have such a, he's like, even habitually you start creating all new, a different like sort of habits.
Yeah.
Right. I just remember like resonating with that one, like super specifically in that book of like, that's pretty crazy to think about.
Well,
just to say there's still time, you know?
Yeah.
There's still time. Right.
I mean, I always say like, personally,
and should it ever end, right? Like, right. Should you ever let those statistics interfere?
True. But I always say, I'm like, okay, your brain might be done growing whenever, but like, you're never done learning. Yeah. Like, you're always learning new things. And I mean, that's the teacher in me to be like, you're never done learning. You're always learning.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I learn new things all the time. Like, that Jeremy will eat pudding. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I found that out on Sunday, and we've been together for 6 years, 6 years. Yeah, 6 years. And I was like, you eat pudding? What? It like blew my mind because I was like, well, you don't like Jello. So I just lumped Jello and pudding together.
The things you guys are finding out about each other, right? Like,
you're always learning.
The snacks in the drawers.
Yeah. He was hiding snacks up here.
But one thing, like, and I would say we.
Me and you?
Yeah. Like, we always, like, we just think things happen for a reason. Like, mm-hmm. we don't. And, like, the weirder, like, with, like, my, like, the brain surgery, like, I happened to watch Hockey Day in Minnesota to meet Duke. The first book I ever read after getting brain surgery, I bought it because it just said, you can't play hockey in heaven. And it's about a goalie who was really good in college and then had brain. And I'm like, brain surgery. Didn't even read the back.
Huh.
And like, it's just like all these weird things.
Just coincidental things that just line up.
Which... Yeah. And like, they always told me that like the type of surgery or like condition it's common in older people. So that's where I was like, well, I'm only to be like talking to old people who had this, but I met Duke and then like we knew prior to yours.
Right. Right.
And it's just like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, that's just like But now to move to kind of something to wrap up, I'm interested to learn your take on NFTs.
It's quite a challenge, woozy, I find a balance. Drinking with my lawyer, had sushi with my accountant. Losing touch and puffing a Lucy, that's where I found it. One hit of the cig and I usually feel nostalgic. When I'm on a bender, it's usually when I miss home. Mentally repairing and staring up out the window. Looking for revenge, just to count Monte Cristo. I'll be counting money by the fistful, youngin. You don't know what nothing about this though, youngin. Zelda got the motherfucking 6-4 humming. Sip till you slip, get a grip, y'all buggin'. I went to the desert, took a trip, no luggage.